Good morning. How's everybody doing? I can't not say that. I don't know why, but it's just who I am. Okay, my name is Heath. I'm the lead pastor here at Reach, and I want to value one of our, or two of our signups that are out there, just so you know what they are. We do have small group signups, women's and men's ministry signup, but there are two others that you may look at and go, what is that? And so we have a serve team signup and then a Reach Kids signup. So if you're part of Reach and you want to get involved in something where you're not serving, really, I believe, that the best way to get connected with people is come in here and work together. And for those that need like a cherry on top to serving, we're getting ready to make new shirts. And our volunteers get shirts. So, you know, if you're not already serving somewhere, whether that's leading a small group or set up or kids ministry or worship team or the other 100 different things that we have serving, like maybe just the t-shirt is what pushes you over the edge because we're getting ready to order t-shirts. So anyway, just throwing that out there, we appreciate everything that goes into what gets us to this point. So if you're sitting in a chair, that chair was not here. It was in a trailer. And this beautiful pipe and drape that makes you feel like you're not in a cafeteria, but transported into the sanctuary of the Lord, like that all has to come out. And so like you could participate just like the Old Testament of erecting, you know, the tabernacle. I'm just saying.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, that just went like way off target. Didn't mean to do that. We're starting a new series this week that's going to go for the next couple of weeks. And I this is something that just kind of has been weighing on me. And actually, if you're keeping up with the one-year Bible, our main text today is your reading today. So if you missed reading this morning, so most of what we're going to read today, or not most of it, but a good portion of it is what would be your reading in 2 Corinthians 12. So just fair warning, if you've already read it, you're going to be like, yes, like you feel like A for the day. And so let me explain this a little bit. I don't know if you remember math, but like one of the things that I remember in math is the greater than or less than, and my teacher used it. You know, if you're young at heart, you want animals and animals eating things. So like we were taught the greater than and less than by the alligator. And the alligator always wanted to eat the bigger one. Anybody else? You're like, okay. There, you're like, it finally makes sense. There you go. Free lesson. And so I want to talk about something that seems completely abnormal to American culture, because American culture would flip that around and saying strong is greater than weak. We do this. I mean, we praise the fastest. You know, we just had the Olympics, and you know, the Olympics is the worst. It's not the worst. I like the Olympics. It is the opposite, where we're praising and lifting up the strong. Same with the NFL, like who's fantasy football, and you know, I've seen it on Facebook. Like we're thinking about the best because of what they do. And so this week, I want to talk about, or this week and the following weeks, I want to look at this reality that we are the strongest when we're weak. And so to kind of start that off, I just want to acknowledge, I don't know if you guys didn't look at the calendar this morning, but it is 9/11. 15 years later, like I remember the day. Like, I don't remember, like, see, in my generation, that was their thing. Like, I wasn't here for JFK, and I missed some of these other kind of big moments. Like, I remember the day. I remember I was at work and had this little black and white TV that was the only thing. I worked in this lumberyard, and we just had this little TV, and we were really clueless to what was going on other, because, you know, it was 15 years ago. The technology isn't like today. You know, everybody's phone isn't blowing up. And I remember hearing the reports, and like when I heard about the plane hitting the building, like in my mind, I was like, some crop duster got way off target and ran into a building in New York City and like had no idea what was going on. And like, I just want to honor this because I think this is a great explanation of this. Like, we are a self-centered culture. We are. Like, it's about us, and it's about making money, and it's about serving our greater need. And 9/11 exposed something that was there under the surface the whole time. We were made weak, and I believe, really, God showed us our strength. I mean, I don't remember if y'all remember the stories of the aftermath, the stories of, you know, the first responders who were giving their life to rescue people. I mean, like, even the people on the plane, like, when we get reduced, when our strength of who we think we are, this powerful nation, gets reduced, out of the ember of that, like, we get to see the strength of people. And I believe God has done that and will do that in our life. If we want to be followers of Jesus, God will get us to a place where we understand our weakness, because only in our weakness do we really get to experience His power. If we with strength come into this, like, I'm following Jesus and I obey the rules, like young rich ruler, not in my notes today, but side note, here's a guy who did everything. Like, he came to God and he was like, hey, what must I do to earn eternal life? You know, obey the rules. And he's like, done it. But he knew something else was wrong. He said, what else must I do? And Jesus hit him where he put his strength. Sell all your wealth, give to the poor, and follow me. Like, God is about using us to demonstrate his power. And so this morning, I want to, we're going to get to 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7 through 10, but I want to build that a little bit in the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, and I want to talk about a verse in Psalms, and I want to kind of build up what's going on before Corinthians, and then we are going to, by my hope, like, during our prayer series, I was really intentional of trying to keep my time little lower, so I thought I did really well during that, so like, I'm gonna try my best to keep us on target and on mission this morning. So I'm gonna pray and then we're gonna get started. Dear Heavenly Father, you are all we need, and Lord, we just confess that a lot of times we're trying to get our needs met somewhere else. And Lord, we're trying to be strong where you're asking us to be weak. Lord, not in the sense that we're weak just because that's what we should do, but Lord, understanding, Lord, that you're the power, not us. And so, Lord, I just pray that this morning and in this series, Lord, that we would lift you up, and Lord, we would humbly bow down to you. And so, Lord, I pray that you would teach us, that you would mold our way of thinking to be your way of thinking. Lord, we thank you even again through your Lord's Prayer. Lord, we just pray, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we declare that over our own lives. Lord, that we would be people that lift you high. Lord, that we would decrease so you could increase. And Lord, we just pray that this morning, Lord. Lord, I acknowledge that we're not there. I'm not always there. But Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes to the opportunity we have in our community, in our homes, in our workplace, to lift you high by living and acknowledging our weakness. And so we pray these things in the powerful name of your sons. In your powerful son's name, Jesus. Amen. And so I want to start out in Matthew 5, verse 3 and 10, just to give you this idea that this isn't just like, I think sometimes we as preachers can take a verse and we can amplify it bigger than everything else and not really sometimes give you the background. Like, this is a theme that from the beginning, and not just what we're going to have time to cover, but literally every person that we would elevate in the Old Testament, the New Testament, God's exposed their weaknesses to use his strength. story after story, whether it's Moses, whether it's David, whether it's Joseph, every one of them into the disciples, he has brought them to a place of weakness so that his power can just be made manifest. And so this is the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, if you may have heard it like that. Verse 3, Matthew 5, says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." In almost every one of these, you're going to get from this weak side of what God is capable, that they're the ones that actually get to experience the power of God, the peace of God. Blessed are the meek. And so if you were at the men's group like 3 or 4 weeks ago, we got to hear about meekness. And meekness isn't like I'm laying on the floor and letting people walk over me. Meekness is a controlled power, allowing God to be who he is. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for my righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Weakness. Listen to what we get: the kingdom of heaven. We'll be comforted. We inherit the earth. We'll be satisfied. We'll receive mercy. We'll get to see God. We'll be called sons of God. And we will experience and partake in the kingdom of heaven. Like, this is counterculture. Like, I would say even in most churches, it's like we should be strong. Like, do all the right things so that then the culture will see. Like, this isn't license. So you may hear this and be like, he's saying I can sin because sin is weakness and then God will lift me up. Really, the weakness that we're going to talk about today is more about what's externally happening to you than what you're doing. It's persecutions of what's happening with Paul. Not necessarily like, so don't hear me going, yeah, well, man, I'm a master at being weak. Like, I don't do anything right. Like, I'm just going to blow things up so that the name of Jesus will be lifted high. That's not what we're talking about. But we are talking about understanding the limit of our capacity to be what God has called us to be. Psalms 34:18. It says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." Like, there's another parable that Jesus gives talking about the kingdom, and it was about this king, and he invited all of his people to this celebration. And the day of the celebration came, and the people that were invited didn't show up because they had stuff going on. Like, I got to do this, and I just got married. I just bought a piece of land was one of the excuses. Like, I'd love to come to this party, but what's the land going to do? Like, I got to go out there and check it out. And so the master, referencing God, gets kind of frustrated. And he's like, tells his servants, just go into the streets and gather the broken and call them into my party. I mean, this is the kingdom. And he's talking about what the kingdom's like. The kingdom isn't for the strong. You know, Jesus even said, he was like, I didn't come for the well, I came for the sick. Like, who Jesus gathers to himself, forgive me, because we're lumped into this, are the losers. Seriously. Like, when God came in, even to pick his 12, they were not the popular ones. Like, he didn't come in and was like, go to the seminary and be like, I'll take your top 5. Go to the marketplace, I'll take your top 5. He went and got the losers. Because, I'm not trying to give you a stigma, and by the grace of God, we're not losers. So don't walk out of here feeling like pastor said I was a loser. No. But being the loser, God has an opportunity to do amazing things. This is who he gathers to himself. And so let me give you a little pre-entrance into what's going into 2 Corinthians. So Corinthians is a letter that Paul wrote to a church that he started. So he came, he spent time with it, he built the church, he left. And he's writing letters because he's hearing things that are going on. And so what's going on in Corinth was that false teachers had come in and they were endeavoring to establish their lie in the church. So Paul was gone, and after being there for a year and a half, he was gone. They wanted to take advantage of that. So a church started. Paul gave them good foundational teaching. Paul leaves. When Paul leaves, people that weren't of the way came in, and they're like, hey, we can take advantage of this. We can make this our thing, and we're going to have them believe that. So they came in and taught negative things and also defamed Paul. So they came in to find a platform to teach the lies. So they destroyed the people's confidence in Paul. So they came in and they're like, Paul, he is not who he says he is. They assaulted his character. They were saying that he's just in ministry for money. Like, he is just here. He's not legit. He's literally here to collect your money. He's doing everything to take away Paul's credibility. So part of the letter is Paul defending who he is. And so it gets to this place, and part of this weakness that we're going to experience is that Paul was living on the forefront of expanding the kingdom. And when you do that, Jesus said, like, when you go into the world, your mind, you're going to be persecuted like I'm persecuted. So Paul is in the world. He is at the front of the spearhead going into the world, explaining and sharing the gospel, and he's getting attacked. And so Paul was also a person who, let me give you a background. Let's just assume, like, I've been around church forever, and like, I assume people know everything. Let me give you a little background on Paul. So Paul, if you didn't know this, and it's okay if you didn't know this, there's a lot of things I don't know. I figure it out every week how little I know. And so Paul was this guy who actually worked for the Jews. Jesus came, the Jews was kind of the ruling religious party in this part of the world, and they were oversaw by Rome. Rome governed them, but the religious party were the Jews, and the Jews were waiting for the Messiah, and Messiah came, and the party kind of split, and some people believed that Jesus was the Messiah, and others said, no, he was not, because they wanted a reigning, ruling king that would remove Rome, establish their kingdom like was promised. And so the party was divided. Paul was on the other side. And he actually persecuted the church. Like, was excited to get letters to go into not just his city. He's like, I want to go into these cities, and I want to find people of the way, which I think he coined that phrase, and I want to arrest them and abuse them and put them in prison. So that was his mission, and he actually stood by one of the early deacons in the church, Stephen, who was stoned to death, and he held coats and kind of cheered it on, Paul. And then Paul, going to arrest Christians, was knocked off his horse by Jesus, had a conversation with Jesus, was blinded for 3 days. So I love this. So if you don't know Jesus, like, that's okay. That's awesome. Thinking that you're never going to know Jesus because you don't want to, that was Paul. Paul's like, no, like, Jesus isn't the Messiah. The Messiah knocked him off the horse, said, why you persecute me? And he's like, who are you? And he's like, I'm Jesus. And he was like, you are my instrument to the Gentiles. Like, he didn't ask him, like, this is the interview. Do you feel like you want to do this, Paul? He just said, hey, Paul, you're mine. I've just proven who I am. I'm going to let you sit in blindness for 3 days, and then I'm going to send this guy, and he's going to come over to you and heal you, which that guy didn't want to. God talked to Ananias to go heal him, and the dude was like making the connections. Like, this is Saul of Tarsus, the guy who's arresting us, and he's like, And God, I love this. God is not concerned with what you want to do. He tells Ananias, you're going to go over there and you're going to heal him and you're going to tell him that he is my instrument. He goes over there, heals him, and Paul was full on. So he went from like, I'm going to kill you, to like being persecuted and killed. And this is Paul. So Paul came from the other side. God touched him. Even in the letter, he's like, I'm the least of the apostles, though Jesus did appear to me. I love Paul. Paul is a little cocky at times, and he scares me. I think, like, if Paul was in the room, you would feel uncomfortable because, like, dude is smart. I mean, like, we get Romans from Paul, and it's the most theologically rich book. And, I mean, it's like he speaks, and it's crazy. And so Paul is also a guy who is walking in the favor of God, healing people. Like, people would take handkerchiefs and take them to people, and people would get healed. I mean, like, miraculous things happening around Paul and with things that Paul touched. Not because of Paul, but because of God. And Paul has something that happens to him. And this is where we find the story. There's either an ailment or it's an external persecution. There's lots of kind of theories of what this is. So we pick this up in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. And we're going to read to verse 10. And I have three things that we're going to walk away with today. In verse 7. Oh, let me, before this, okay, before verse 7, Paul's like, man, I've seen like the third heaven, like I've seen visions I can't even speak about. Like he was like bragging, boo, 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 and so that I'm not conceited, this happens. So like he's just saying like, I'm amazing, like amazing things have happened in and through me. Boom, this is where we're at. Okay, so verse 7, it says, to keep me from being conceited of these miraculous things that he's seen and experienced because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. This was allowed. Now, okay, Jesus God is not controlling the messenger of Satan, meaning like there's like God has like a pool of like the bad angels, and he's like, hey, I need you to work for me today. Go get this guy. Like, not like that, but God is using what Satan is doing to the benefit of Paul. So not all, hear this, this isn't even a point, this is for free, extra. Not all persecutions are negative. Honestly. Not everything that's happening to us, even if it's from Satan, is to our deficit. Everything is for building us up. So, in verse 8, three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. Three times. So this is a guy that he has seen the miraculous. This is a guy who preached so long at night, a young dude sitting in the window, fell asleep, fell out, dead. And he's like, time out. But like, he goes downstairs, get up, buddy. Okay, raised from the dead. He comes back upstairs. Okay, we're in point Z, right? Okay, we're in Z. And he kept preaching. Like this guy, I mean like, things happened. Like, he didn't even, like, hesitate. This is a guy who got stoned. They drug him out of town because they thought he was dead. And, like, he's like, let's go back into town. I mean, crazy. And so, three times he pleaded. So, like, I'm sure there's part of him, like part of us, that's like, why isn't God responding to me? Like, do you ever feel like, I've done things for you, Lord, and you owe me. And this is happening, so you need to fix it. Like, we almost get to, like, come on, God. Like, you know, I've been here for 4 years setting up in this middle school, Lord. Like, why is this happening to my finances? Like, we do that. Like, we feel like because we've done something on our part that God owes us. And I believe this is the voice of the Lord to every one of us. Like, I don't believe that this was literally just for Paul. I believe verse 9 is God's voice to us, and this is where we have access to peace when anything is going on. In verse 9, he said, but he said to me, and this is Jesus speaking to him. So he's praying, he's crying out, nothing is happening. And finally, God didn't say, wait, I'm going to get to that. I'm going to come around the corner. We're going to fix this. This is God's word. And I love the response of Peter. In verse 9, he said, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Like right now, there potentially are things going on in your life that you're like, why in the world is this going on? Like, why? What have I done? Like, why is God punishing me? And the voice of the Lord right now to you sitting here in this chair, if you are a child of God, is my grace is sufficient. Like, I think a lot of times we miss out on the power of God because we are so angry that he's not doing what we want that we pout in the corner instead of coming back into the kitchen and getting some of that cake. My kids do that sometimes. Like, they're... Like, if we just calm down, like, we'll get over it. Not you, Lydia. You're perfect. The other two that aren't in here. The other two aren't in here, right? Okay. But, like, we miss out because we're kicking the rocks in the yard because, like, we're not getting what we want when God's just going, if you'll settle down, if you'll realize that I'm in control and that my grace is enough. Like, if we could skip that point of going, I'm frustrated because this, and there is a multitude of things in this room. It could be health-related. It could be relationship-related. It could be work-related. It could be money-related. It could be, name it. If it's going on, God's word to you is, my grace is sufficient. That he wants to do something exceedingly great in and through you when you realize that worrying about something being fixed to your liking is not as valuable as going, God, I'm here. Just like Jesus, what we talked about a couple weeks ago when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane sweating the crucifixion, he's like, Lord, if there's another way, it's okay. Jesus did it. It's okay to go, God, if we could get around this, I'd love that. But just like Jesus' words were, not my will but yours. And so this is Paul. This is where, and Paul's getting ready to turn a corner. So I don't know how long this is going on. I don't know how he's suffered in this, and he's frustrated about it. And I don't know what this is doing potentially to the church. I mean, this is a guy who is a church planning phenom. Like, he went into a town. He built a church from nothing in foreign areas, some of them that weren't even like Jewish related. So Jews had an understanding at least of where the Messiah was coming from, so he could connect the two. But he was going into places that literally wanted to try to sacrifice to him, thinking that he was Zeus and the other guy was Apollos. I mean, like, crazy. Not Apollos. Zeus and Hermes. Okay. That's what happens when you just pull stuff out of your brain. Some of it's not always right. It's good when it's on the paper. So he's sitting there going, my grace is sufficient to you, for my power is made perfect your weakness. And this is Paul's response to that. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And then in verse 10, he gets even better. It says, for the sake of Christ then. So he's saying, for the sake of Christ, regardless of what's going on, fill in the blank on your end. For the sake of Christ, I am content, fill in the blank, with weakness, with insults, with hardships, with persecutions, with calamities. I mean, this is a guy who was shipwrecked, was beaten and abused, who was ran out of town, who was His whole legacy was being challenged by false teachers. He's saying, I am content with those things. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Our strength doesn't come from our perfection or our own physical, emotional, intelligent strength. It comes from Jesus. So here's three things that I feel like, you know, if we could grapple with and allow into us, you know, we would walk out of a lot of situations a lot different. We would handle things a lot differently. The first one is God is working all things to our good. It's not up there, but one of my Romans 8, we already got into Romans 8, 1 a minute ago, so Romans 8, 28, all things work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So if you're a child of God and your life is falling apart and a meteor shower is happening in your life, not literally, but like everything else is falling, all things are working together for the good of those who love him. All things. So God is working all things. So when we can fit whatever's going on in your life into that category that this is, because our brain wants to put, well, you know, the Greek word for all really isn't all. It's like 99.9%, and I'm that 0.01% that God didn't take into account, and this scenario is so much different, and this is foreign to God, and he's forgotten about me. All things are working to our good. And that's a big, I mean, that's like a Grand Canyon. I mean, that whole of what that could mean, I mean, even looking at 9/11, I mean, all things are working together for us who believe. And there was believers who loved and followed Jesus that died in the towers. So here's the second thing. So the first thing is God is working all things to our good. The second thing is God's grace is always enough. So if our life, potentially, the things that can happen are a grand canyon of holes, the grace of God is like an ocean that fills every little crevice of that. His grace is always, it's always sufficient for us. And the last thing is our weakness plus God equals the power of the living Christ working in and through us. So wherever you're at, like whatever's going on, it's not you plus doing things better, reading more, praying more, giving more, even the guilt I put on you earlier, which I apologize, of serving more. But it is my job. You know, all of it's not you plus all of these things and Jesus and we'll get through this. It is literally coming right now. The beauty of this is like as we finish with a song in just a few minutes, that in that moment you could come to God with your brokenness and your weakness and he would be like, this is exactly what I've been looking for. Our weakness plus God equals the power of Christ moving in and through us. And so the two sides of what we can run into, and this is kind of what we're going to be praying for today, is the two sides of anything is either, and we want to be in the middle of this, pride. Pride is the most destructive thing in our life. It ruins relationships. Most of our arguments between husband and wife are pride-related, at least speaking from a male perspective. Women, you know, you're perfect. My wife's not even in here for that one. Darn. But pride, it's what's like making us want to win the fight because I'm right. Or the other side of that is despair. So pride is like, we'll muscle through this. Despair is like, there's no way out of this. And see, Jesus has a remedy for all those. And in the middle of those is you living in, abiding in the grace of God. And so I'm going to invite our worship team back up here. And I just want to, as we close in worship, to just challenge you. Like there's something going on in all of us that we consider a deficit to what God's trying to do. Maybe it's your story, like God can't use this, or maybe it's something actively that you're struggling with. Maybe it's something that externally is happening to you through other people and you're just overwhelmed. That plus God fixes everything. Like I encourage, if you've not signed up for the book study that we're going through in marriage, like there is nothing better to strengthen your marriage than getting with other people and realizing that you're normal. I think everybody else thinks everybody else's marriage is better because you see them on Sunday and they smile and kiss and hold hands. You don't see them in the car on the way here or leaving afterwards or this afternoon when it's like, ugh. But you get in a room and you realize that we need other people to like lovingly walk us through things. But at the end of the day, that book study is just going to connect you to Jesus. That's the beauty. Like our community groups aren't necessarily to get you to know more, but it's connect you and push you to a place of understanding that grace, the grace of God, is enough. And so if you're here this morning and maybe you're outside of that, maybe like when I'm talking about child of God or son of God or daughter of God or being a follower of Jesus, you're like, you know, I don't buy into that. Like I don't see the rescue, but you're desperate. Like nothing else is working and nothing else will ever work for long. Like there's things that we can do to make things better, but it doesn't fix anything. Jesus is the one that fixes. And so here's the simple. Is that Jesus was a living person that came to this world. Part God, part man, lived the life that you could not. So we're all in here. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, all of us. Even though I'm not standing on a stage, I'm on the same ground with you guys. All have fallen short. But God, knowing our weakness, came and became strength for us. And lived that life that led to the cross, led to him willingly allowing himself to be tortured, beaten, and abused, and nailed like a common thief to a piece of wood. Where he's the one that speaks. Like right now, everything in us is being held together by the word of Jesus. That same power and authority that spoke this world into existence allowed himself to be nailed on the cross to pay the penalty for your sin. Hebrews actually says, do not be deceived. There will be no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. And that means yours or his. And your blood won't satisfy your debt, but his will. And so, if that's you, we're not going to make you do anything. I'm not even going to ask you to stand up or raise your hand. I would just ask you in this last song is to have an honest conversation with Jesus. And if you want to continue that conversation with someone, find me afterwards. We'll have prayer people that are going to be up here and in the back. If you want to just like, I need somebody's faith to help me get to this place of believing, then that's fine. And for everybody else in here that's living in the middle of the weakness, is embrace your weakness. Embrace your shortcomings, because that plus Jesus is a miracle. That plus Jesus is an amazing testimony. That plus Jesus is a city and a town changed. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we beg you that you would show us your goodness right now. Lord, as the potentially two groups of people sitting in this room, one that may not know you and another that is overwhelmed and feeling condemned because of their weakness, they both need you. And so, Lord, your word says that where three or more gathered in your name, you're there. So right now, Lord, through the Holy Spirit, you're in this room. Right now, the power that raised Jesus from the dead is in this room. And so, Lord, I pray that you would allow that power to raise people to life that don't know you. And on the other side, Lord, I pray that you would allow people to have their eyes open, just like Paul. Just like Paul's eyes were clouded to everything that was going on, Lord, I pray that you would remove the scales from our life, that we would see and understand that your grace is sufficient. And so, Lord, like Paul, we boast in our weakness so that your power could rest on us. And so, Lord, as we worship you in this last song, Lord, I pray that your name would be lifted high. And Lord, I pray that all of these things would just be laid at your feet for you to do what you will and you desire. And Lord, we just declare that we love you, and without you, we are lost. Lord, without you, we are hopeless. Without you, we have no joy. But with you, we have everything we need. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would have your way with us this morning. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.